Our scripture reading is 2 Chronicles chapter 37, verse 1 and 7. So if you'll get the scriptures, or you just look up on the wall, either way, verses 1 through 7, and you stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1 through 7. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the idols and the carved images, and the melted and cast images. And they broke down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the idols and the carved images and the cast images he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it upon the graves of them who had sacrificed unto them. Look what he did in verse 5. And he burned the bones of the priest upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, in their ruins round about. And when he had broken down the altar and the idols, and he beaten the carved images and the powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. You may be seated. This is the greatest Passover. This is quite a story. It doesn't give you much detail of what happened, but it tells you about Josiah, who was 8 years old when he began to reign. How old was he? You have to do a little math there. How old was he when he began to seek after the God of his father David? Well, it was in the 8th year of his reign. He was 8 years old when he began to reign, so 8 plus 8 is, so he was just 16 years old. A teenager who sought after the God of his long time ago father, David. And how old was he when he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places? Well, it said in the third verse, he was in the 12th year of his reign. Well, he was 8 years old when he started to rule. 8 plus 12 is 20. That's the age of man in the scriptures. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem, from Baalism. They were Baal worshipers, all these idols and images. And then he dug up the priest's bones, and he offered them on the altars. He burned them on the altars. He cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. He also went to Manasseh and Ephraim. That wasn't his reign. Simeon, even Naphtali. Who was living there then? Remember, Israelites went out. Babylonian and other people went in. Josiah was king of Judah in the latter days of the kingdom before it was taken captivity by the Babylonians. His grandfather, anybody know his grandfather? King Manasseh, who was one of the worst, if not the worst king in the history of Judah, and maybe in all of Israel. Manasseh began his reign when he was 12 years old, and he reigned for 55 years. So he was 67 when he died. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. You could probably turn off. It's going to be a while till we get to the next one. He built the high places which his father, King Hezekiah, had broken down. Remember King Hezekiah? He was the king that saved Judah from the Assyrians. He was a good king. He reared up altars for Balaam. So Manasseh reared up altars for Baal worship and made idols and worshiped the host of heaven and served them. That's the key word. He served the other gods. He didn't serve the God of Israel. He served the other gods. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, the temple. He caused his own children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. That means he sacrificed his own children, burned them up. Also, he observed times. He used enchantments and practiced sorcery. He dealt with the Median and with wizards. I don't know how much more evil this guy could be. He made and set an idol in the house of God. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err, and listen close, and to do worse than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. You think about that last sentence for a moment. How bad were these Judahites? You also got Benjamin in there and Levi. It says they were worse than the Canaanites. The nations of the Canaanites had been so bad that God ordered his covenant people to completely annihilate them. And here his people were acting worse than they did. I will just add, the United States worships wizards. For example, Harry Potter, multi-book series and movies. They have altars to Balaam. You call them abortion clinics. They practice sorcery. Well, gee, every time on the Inquirer, they talk about heroin addiction and all the deaths. We're full of sorcery. Made idols, well, gee, the Catholic Church, the Mormons, the Episcopals, all these people have all kind of idols. They even changed the Ten Commandments, didn't they? Took that one out. They read the influence of the stars. Well, gee, the horoscopes do that. They deal with mediums. They talk with dead people. They keep pagan holidays instead of God holy days, and it seems like America is just a lot like unfaithful Judah. God was so mad at King Manasseh. What did he do to him? He had the Assyrians come and kidnap him. And they took him in chains and fetters and carried him to Babylon. Can you imagine that? He was actually a prisoner of Assyria. What did he do? Well, he was in affliction. He besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And then he prayed unto him. And he was entreated by him and heard his supplication. And God brought him again to Jerusalem and into his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? The man humbled himself and repented. This wicked king. The worst king they ever had. Then Manasseh knew the Lord and that he was his God. Manasseh had repented. King Manasseh then made repairs to the house of God and tore down many of the idols and altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. He attempted to redo all of the evil that he had done. He started, but he couldn't come close to finishing. He didn't have enough time. And in a couple of years, he died. So King Manasseh, at least he repented of all of his evil. His son Amon reigned for only 2 years. His son took over. Well, that's the way it happens. Father, then son, all the way from David. He was also a evil king. His servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house. They assassinated him after 2 years. The people then made his son king in his stead. That was young Josiah. He was 8 years old when he comes on the throne. His father had been assassinated. As we said before, Josiah began his reign when he was just 8 years old. During his young days, they found in the house of God, while they were repairing it, they found a book. It was part of the Holy Scriptures that had been lost. Yes, lost. They lost the Scriptures. How long had they been without these Scriptures? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, I don't believe. I couldn't find it. They had lost the Scriptures, and they weren't even looking for them. Had they completely forgotten who they were? I don't know. It certainly implies they didn't keep the feast days that God had commanded them to keep. And how long have that been going on? God's people were bad. The 5/6 of the people are already in captivity. And the three tribes that are left, are acting terrible. The king told them to inquire of the Lord, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do all that is written in this book. We know that's true. Why didn't our grandfather stand up against that Federal Reserve Bank? Why didn't they stand up against it? Well, there were people. There were. Some grandfathers did stand up against it and fought against it. But there were enough people. I guess at Bundy's rant, there were enough people who came and backed him down. It was close. They had about as many people as the police did. They backed him down. Well, when Josiah was 26 years old, he had his people, including himself, keep the Passover. They weren't even keeping the Passover. They hadn't kept Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for a long time. And the Bible says there was no Passover like this one since the days of Samuel the prophet. That goes back when God was king. It was the greatest Passover that was kept in over 450 years. That is almost twice as long as the United States has been a nation. That's a long time ago. That's back when the Protestant Reformation began. The house of Israel had been an apostate nation for its whole existence, over 200 years. They wound up as a nation that promoted Baalism. They made their own laws, and they did not keep God's laws at all. They even refused their own people the right to go to Jerusalem to the temple. They kicked out all the priests of God. They changed the dates of the feast days to another month, and they chose priests from another tribe, non-Levitical, and they were the lowest of the people. Kind of sounds like us. So we can conclude that the house of Israel kept Passover very little, or they never kept it at all, according to God's law, in all their history of being a nation, and they certainly didn't keep it when they were in a state of divorcement over 700 years. For many of them completely forgot who they were. That's almost 1,000 years. The house of Judah did a little bit better.
Gee, wouldn't take much to do a little better than that.
But from what we learn in the life story of Josiah, they were not keeping the feast days either, until they found the lost scriptures in the temple. They were completely unaware of the feast day of Passover. How long was this going on in the house of Judah? They certainly never kept Passover for a longer period of time than they did and celebrate it. Now, Jesus Christ went to Judea for the feast days because in Jerusalem became the appropriate place where the feast days could be held. But he knew that the Edomite, Canaanite Jew was there who were seeking to kill him. He went there at the time of the Passover. Why'd he go there at the time of Passover? So he could fulfill the Holy Scriptures that told of the time of his death. He voluntarily laid down his life for the sheep. For he was the Passover lamb. The death of Jesus Christ had to coincide with the death of all the Passover lambs that were being sacrificed by each Israelite household. He was to die on Passover, not one day before, not one day after. Jesus Christ could not die on any other day or time. Do you remember when the Jews were trying to stone him to death and he just disappeared? It wasn't the correct time. It had to be during the same time the Passover lambs were being slaughtered. I believe he was the first of all the lambs to die on that day, as he died at the beginning of the time for them to be killed, which was 3 p.m. His death was preeminent. Imagine the scene if you can. Immediately after Jesus Christ had poured out his holy blood for our sins by hanging on the tree, paying the penalty for our sins, as our Passover Lamb of God, multitude thousands of Jehudites, true Israelites, and Jews, false Israelites, throughout Judea were slaying the Passover lamb. What a perfect fulfillment. What a perfect antitype. What a marvelous picture. Jesus fulfilled the antitype of Passover perfectly. Josephus tells us that during the time, about 256,000, that's a 250,000 Passover lambs were being slain. 250,000 lambs. One for every 10 people. Thus, the population in Judea was about 2.5 million during the time of Jesus, with everyone that came down from Galilee about. All these Passover lambs pointed to him, the true Lamb of God. Now we're ready for the tape. What are the controversies about this story? There are beliefs on just about every issue. Today, the vast majority of churches don't even pretend to recognize Passover. They celebrate Easter, which is nowhere in the Holy Book. They say that Jesus Christ was crucified on Friday. They call it Good Friday. And he rose. When did he rise? Sunday morning. They have their sunrise service, don't they? The Last Supper was held on Thursday. It's called Maundy Thursday. That is so unbiblical. It's like the movie Noah. I can't get over how unbiblical that is. If you can get 72 hours from burial to resurrection, it's a struggle to get 36 hours. And that isn't all. They've got Lent, Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday, No meat eating Fridays except fish. Fish is a meat, though, isn't it? And today's Palm Sunday. A few churches even eat the Jewish Passover Seder, right? A meal. Why would they eat such a meal when the death of our Savior has already occurred? But wait. We are using a Roman Catholic
calendar.
Not the calendar their ancient fathers used. The Roman calendar is a false religious one, which is based on the Mass of Jesus Christ, called Christmas, Lent, and Easter. And we are not using, in fact, we, the modern day Israelites, don't even know the calendar that was used by our ancestors. Now look at Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Is that what it says? The first month was named Abib in Exodus chapter 13, 4, Nisan elsewhere in the Bible. The Roman calendar begins each new year a week and a half after the winter solstice, don't they? New year is January 1st. God said about 4,000 years ago for his people to begin each new year in the spring. I didn't see anybody have New Year's party in the springtime. Why didn't they? Near March 20th would begin the new year in God's calendar that he gave to his covenant people. The Roman calendar begins each day at a moment past what? What time? When's each day begin the Roman calendar? A moment past midnight. Have you ever thought about why does it begin at midnight? What a crazy time to begin a new day. A lot of the movies with evil themes have midnight as a prominent time in their pictures. But I think I know why it's midnight. Weren't the firstborn sons of all the Egyptians killed at midnight? That's what I believe. The Roman calendar is a death calendar. Each day begins in the middle of the night at the very anniversary of the death of the firstborn sons of Egypt. Each new year begins in the beginning of winter. God's calendar is the opposite. Each new year begins in the rebirth of nature, the springtime. Each new day begins at sunset. In God's calendar, there is a two-day Sabbath each year, 48 hours straight. It's the 49th and 50th day after the resurrection. It's also the time of the Feast of Pentecost. In the Roman calendar, it doesn't make any difference what day you keep for the weekly Sabbath, Saturday or Sunday. They're both wrong. The majority of time on Israel's calendar. For the day would change each year. It's like a stopwatch. That's a watch that's broken, I should say. Not a watch that's broken. It gives the correct time twice a day. Israel calendar doesn't have the days of the week that the Roman calendar does. Its days just have numbers. The months are different names too. God then told the Israelites that on the 10th day of the first month, you get that? The 10th day of the first month. He didn't say on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. They were to take an unblemished lamb or a goat, a male of the first year, and they were to keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then they kept it and killed it in the evening of the 14th day. Let's think for a moment. This calendar that Israel used was for Israel only. Where did they live? They lived in the northern hemisphere. The month of March in the southern hemisphere is the reverse season of March in the northern hemisphere. March in the summer hemisphere is the beginning of the fall. December in the southern hemisphere is the beginning of summer. What? The Mass of Christ is in the summer? If you go with summer into the southern hemisphere, that's what it is. That's what I went one time. Flew here to Australia. Left on Christmas break. They were just beginning their summer. We were just beginning our winter. And if you go close to either of the poles, North Pole or South Pole, a day could last as long as 6 months. And if you get close to either the North or South Pole, it's always very cold, even though we're having global warming. What would that do to the Sabbath restrictions? The Roman calendar in the southern hemisphere begins each new year in the summer and not in the winter. The Roman 24-hour day begins at midnight to sunrise, from sunrise to sunset, and from sunset to midnight. Very confusing. I was in the seventh grade. I made a report on the calendars. I gutted my report. I got so confused. There were so many different calendars. It was so confusing. I've always said it's a complete confusing mess. I did read Claire Ewing's. I think he had the closest one, if not the exact calendar that they used. But boy, it takes a lot of study to figure it out. And when we read in the scriptures that something happened about, they'll say it happened about the sixth hour. Well, what time is that? That's about 12 o'clock noon. The Israelite night began at sunset. Its day began at sunrise. The Israelite 24-hour day began at sunset and ended at sunset. The Lord's Supper occurred on the evening, the beginning portion of Abib, or Nisan 13. Jesus was arrested that very night and taken into captivity. The next morning is still Nisan 13. He appeared before Pilate, then Herod, and finally again before Pilate, where he was judged and condemned. After being condemned, Jesus was flogged, scourged, beaten, thrown into the dungeon, where he was left until the following morning, which would be Nisan 14. Also on the latter part of Nisan 14, he was led up to the spot of the crucifixion on the Mount of Olives that overlooked the temple where the red heifer sacrifices were made. There he was nailed to the stake on the third hour of the day. Let's see who's got the math ability. The third hour would be what time in a Roman calendar? Nope. Third hour, 9 o'clock in the morning. You start sunrise, sunset. So third hour of the day would be 6 plus 3 is 9. This means the final supper Jesus had with his disciples occurred two nights before the regular Passover meal, which would be observed throughout Jerusalem on the night of Nisan 15, after all the lambs had been sacrificed and roasted. Therefore, this final meal, similar to the traditional Passover in certain respects, was a special, unique, final going-away meal, which many have referred to as the Lord's Supper. It was like a normal Passover in some respects, but it was different in other respects. It was actually two nights before the actual Passover. There was no lamb eaten with it, as the Passover lambs would not be killed at the temple till the afternoon of Nisan 14, as the law prescribed.
And the bread was regular leavened bread, as the days of unleavened bread hadn't even started yet. However, since Jesus knew he would be dead at the time of the traditional Passover meal, that's this particular year, he chose to hold a special, unique going-away dinner with his disciples. The last available night he had with them before the regular Passover that year. At this meal or supper, he introduced the new symbols of bread, which represented his body, and wine, representing his blood. What was all this about, and how did it relate to Passover? Paul says that this ceremony was to be done as often as, in other words, often throughout the year. This was not instituted as an annual observance, which would be added to the Passover, but as a special observance to be celebrated often throughout the year. Why then do some want to observe the night before Passover? That's Monday, Thursday. It's almost as if there's a lust to do this, but yet Jesus never once commanded it or recommended it or approved it. But as Solomon wrote, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's Proverbs 14:12. Even though entire churches do this, they do so out of sheer ignorance of the truth. Easter is supposed to represent what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. They say it happened on Sunday morning. Then the churches have their sunrise service, followed by Easter service or services, followed by the Easter meal, right? Let's see. The main course is not lamb, it's ham. Maybe they didn't get all the letters in there. The L-A, they were sub to with H. I don't know how that happened. Which is an abomination to our God. That's really great, isn't it? We eat the abominable food and call it Easter ham. And this all occurs near the unlawful federal income tax deadline. Now let us summarize. Nisan 10. The unblemished lamb chosen from the herd. So each family went out. You had to find an unblemished lamb. And then the women, but the men too, Israel had to clean out their homes of all the yeast. Nisan 11. The lamb is kept near the house, near the home. And Israel's still cleaning out of their homes all the yeast, all the leaven. Nisan 12. The lamb is kept near the home. Israel is cleaning out of their homes all the yeast. Nisan 13. The lamb is kept near the home. Israel is cleaning out of their homes all the yeast. Jesus meets with his apostles and has a final meal with them before Passover. The meal would have leaven in the bread and the drink would be wine. This was held after they had a supper. Jesus only gave the bread and wine to his apostles. I don't read of any women being there or any children. There were only men who took the elements that represented Jesus' blood and sinful body. Today, both true and false churches have a multitude of differences on what they refer to as the Lord's Supper. Some keep it only one time a year. Others once a month. Others every week. And the Catholic Church keeps it every day. Some use one cup, while others use many cups. The Roman Catholics believe that the elements turn into the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. Why Protestants and others believe that it only represents both the body and the blood. Some churches offer it to anyone who comes,
Why others have a close communion, which means they only give it to members of their own church. Some use wine only, others use grape juice only, and others use a mixture of both, wine or grape juice. You can get whatever one you want. And there's no doubt other differences that I have never heard of. Which way is the correct way? Nisan 14, Passover Day. The lamb is killed between the hours of 3 to 5 p.m. Who kills the lamb? It was kind of a bittersweet for the Israelites, for the lamb was kept close to the home for 4 days. I imagine some of the body could catch the lamb. On the original Passover, the Israelites struck the blood, had to take the blood, on the top of the door and on the two sides. It kind of formed a cross, and the blood dripped down. Nisan 15. The 15th is the first day of unleavened bread. That's the first day. You weren't allowed to have any leaven in your house. If you did, you were cast out. The Israelites ate the Passover meal at the beginning. That's the night of this day at their homes. One lamb per 10 people. So if a family had only 2 children, that'd be a family of 4. For example, they could join with another family, 6 or fewer members, for their supper of roasted lamb. At midnight, Nisan 15, the Lord smote the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, boys, men, animals. The Bible says there was not an Egyptian house where there was not at least one dead. All the Egyptians were urgent upon Moses and Aaron to depart immediately. Get out of here. I guess they felt they were all going to get killed. This was the 10th plague. It was on them. As an enticement for them to leave, they gave them all their jewels and silver and gold and beautiful things. The Passover by the death angel over the Israelites' home happened on the 15th of Nisan at midnight. All the firstborn sons of the children of Israel are passed over by the death angel when he sees the blood of the lamb on the doors. It was the blood of the lamb. He just passed over. The firstborn sons of Israel were spared. The firstborn sons were the recipients of the covenant blessings. The sons of Joseph were the birthright recipients, while the sons of Levi were the priests. And the firstborn sons of Judah were the royalty. It was not as in the movie Noah, where it says at the end of the production that all men are recipients of the birthright covenant. They gave it to all men. Even before Abraham was born. Now, this is the same movie that had Tubal-Cain sneak onto the ark. This account goes on and tells how the children of Israel journeyed to Succoth and baked unleavened cakes of the dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt. It was not leavened because they could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. That's Exodus 12, 37 through 39. They left the very next morning early after the horrendous Passover night when the Egyptians were destroyed. Now, how did they eat the Passover meal? Fully clothed and with the staffs in their hands ready to depart. Exodus 12, verse 11. The next morning, they did not wait around or tarry. They were on their way out of Egypt. They departed from Ramses in the first month. On the 15th day of the first month, on the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out in the sight of all the Egyptians. Numbers 33:3. The Israelites were in such a hurry that their dough did not even have time to become leavened from sitting out in the air. The yeast did not even have time to work. If they had sat around on their hands and knees for a whole day, there would have been plenty of leaven in their dough by the following evening. It only requires bread dough with leaven from 1 to 2 hours to rise and double in bulk. I have to ask the women, is that right? It takes an hour or two for the leaven to rise. Many assume that Jesus referred to the final meal he had with the disciples as the Passover. Actually, that is a matter of dispute. It couldn't have been the Passover since the following day would be the preparation of the Passover. So in what sense was the final meal of Passover, since the traditional Passover would not be until some days later? He plainly said to his disciples, this is Luke 22, 15 and 16. There it is right there. He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So what did he really mean? Why did Jesus that night at supper with the disciples speak of this Passover? Was he referring to that evening meal? Or was he not referring to the upcoming Passover, which he would be unable to eat with them, since he would be dead at that time? Nisan 16 is the second day of unleavened bread. And then we come to Nisan 17. What happens on Nisan 17? The third day of unleavened bread. Priest waved the barley sheaves. That's when the resurrection of Jesus Christ occurred, as the priests were waving the barley sheaves. I believe that Jesus arose 72 hours after he was placed in the grave, just before sunset on Wednesday afternoon. He arose just before sunset on Saturday. Remember that Nisan 18 began after sunset. Isn't the resurrection the most important day in the Christian year? If the resurrection would not have happened, then no one would live in the future kingdom. Maybe that is why the Lord told his disciples that the church should keep the communion. They should use unleavened bread because at his resurrection, all the sins that Jesus had on his body was put away and paid for. Nisan 18th, the fourth day of unleavened bread, this would be Saturday till midnight, then Sunday on the Roman calendar. This was the days of this particular Passover. It would change each year. Nisan 19, the fifth day of unleavened bread, Nisan 20, the sixth day, and Nisan 21, the seventh day. Now I'm going to read you something in 2 Chronicles 35:1. We'll put the numbers together, and I think you might be surprised at what I'm going to tell you. Maybe you already know it. 2 Chronicles 35:1. Moreover, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Well, he read the scriptures, got it out, that's what they did. And they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings boiled they in pots and in cauldrons and in pans and divided them speedily among all the people. And afterward they made ready for themselves and for the priest, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, tribe of Levi, were busied in offering of burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites, there's the Levites, prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. And the singers. Remember, David got all these elaborate choir he arranged. The singers, the son of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David, and Asaph, and Heman, and Jethin, the king's seer. And the porters waited at every gate. They might not depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover, to offer burnt offering upon the altar of the Lord, according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel who were present kept the Passover at that time, and the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. There was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. That's almost 500 years. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. Not one king kept as good a Passover as Josiah did. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel who were present in the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. 18th year. He started to reign when he was how old? 8. 8 plus 18 means he was 26 years old. When he was 26 years old, the 18th year of his reign, he kept this great Passover. Are we to keep Passover and unleavened bread today? And what about the waving of the barley sheaves? These 3 days were all combined into an 8-day feast. And then do you go and pick out an unblemished lamb on the 10th day, making it a 12-day event? Do you kill the lamb yourself and then roast it on the fire? Or do you go to Kroger's and pick out a package of lamb? And if you celebrate Passover, do you also kill 2 lambs each day at the temple? Wait, there is no temple in Jerusalem to sacrifice. There had been no temple since 70 AD. And what about all the other animal sacrifices? There's a scapegoat sacrifice and a turtle dove sacrifice and others. The Israelites were taken in captivity and scattered all over the world. They weren't in every country, but they were scattered all over the world. There's many Israelites in Australia and South Africa, for example. Passover's not in the spring, but it's in the fall. Passover was to be kept in Jerusalem. Once Israel had settled in the land and occupied Jerusalem and had built the house of God, but the whole nation only worshiped at the temple a couple of decades, and they split into 2 separate kingdoms. What? All of Israel only worshiped there about 20 years, and they split into 2 kingdoms. The northern kingdom even forbade its people from worshiping at that temple in Jerusalem for fear they would eventually side with the Jehudites. The Passover meal was to be eaten in the homes of Israelite families. It was not to be served in a synagogue or church. Now, could you expect all the Israelites in Australia to go to Jerusalem at one time to celebrate Passover and unleavened bread? They would be there with all the Israelites from all over the world. Israelites from the United States, Great Britain, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, Canada, South Africa, Iceland, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, France, Germany, Russia, and so on. They couldn't all fit in Jerusalem, even if they had a temple. But isn't this all fulfilled? Passover first happened in Egypt, but it was fulfilled in Jerusalem at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Doesn't it say Christ is our Passover? Why would we keep this feast and kill all the lambs? The animal sacrifices ceased with the killing of the Lamb of God. What need would there be for killing as a sacrifice any other animal? Our Savior did not have to die again. Only one time. His resurrection proved that his sacrifice was accepted by his Father. No more sacrifices needed. I apologize to Roman Catholic Church who sacrifices him every day. Do we throw out all the leaven out of our houses each spring? I did that one time. That's what we got to do, throw all the leaven out. Or is it better not to have the leaven of what? Malice and wickedness. But to have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And have you noticed the need for our people to spring clean? It's still in there. My conclusion, we should remember our history. It's a glorious history. The Passover, the waving of the barley sheaves, and the days of unleavened bread are an important part of this. But we do not and cannot keep it the way that our fathers did in the Old Testament. We are New Testament Christian Israelites. Christ is our Passover, who took away our sins with his one offering. It's not an unblemished, one-year-old lamb, which could put away our sins only for a year. It seems that Jesus was showing his disciples what the church should do in the future. We can't celebrate Passover and unleavened bread the way King Josiah did, even if we wanted to. We are now living all over the world. Israelites are living in the southern hemisphere as well as the northern hemisphere. And there's no one temple in Jerusalem or anywhere else in the world. We use unleavened bread and wine in our communion service. At the original Lord's Supper, there was leavened bread and wine. It was leavened bread because Jesus was in 2 days going to represent his people with all their sins on his body. The only people who participated in the original Lord's Supper was his disciples, all men. The scripture doesn't even mention if any women were present, let alone any children. The church at Corinth was criticized by Paul for the way they practiced their love feast. The rich brought an elegant amount of food and ate by themselves, while the poor brought a limited amount of food and also ate by themselves. There was no common table. They ate at the church. The whole attitude was wrong. Their actions at the love feast caused many divisions and hardships. And then after the meal, they were going to celebrate communion. And do you know what famous Israelite was born in this time of the last reform of Judah's worst time in history? Who grew up in this terrible environment that was at last replaced by good King Josiah? Who was that famous Israelite? The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, the priest that were in Antioch in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king that was killed after 2 years of reigning, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. How old was Josiah when Jeremiah spoke these words? 21 years old, you got it. When was the Passover? The greatest Passover in Israel's history since Samuel the prophet. It was when Josiah was 26 years old. Ah, I would say, this is 5 years before the greatest Passover in almost 500 years. I would say that Jeremiah, no doubt, participated in it. Remember Josiah when he was 16, sought after the God of his father, David? And when he was 20 years old, he began cleaning up Judah from all the false practices they had been doing. When Josiah was 21 years old, Jeremiah was called to preach. So Jeremiah must have participated in the greatest Passover since Israel rejected God as being their king. To be continued. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen.